could listen to that a bit longer. Welcome to worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Please join with me in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. You alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated.
This morning's Old Testament reading is an account of the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah. Chapter 14, Jeremiah spoke of the drought and famine in Judah that had been threatened if the covenant was disobeyed. Chapter 15 opens with the Lord's anger that the people are so wicked, God refuses to hear prayers on their behalf, that they are beyond help. In verse 15, where we begin, Jeremiah is acknowledging that the Lord understands what he has suffered, but also Jeremiah expresses his doubts about himself, his mission, and God's faithfulness. By verse 19, we hear the Lord commanding Jeremiah to repent, that encourages him and renews his call. A reading from Jeremiah 15, 15 through 21. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 26 is a prayer for God's discerning mercies that he would spare David, his faithful and godly servant, from the death that overtakes the wicked and ungodly. It is an appeal for God to take account of David's moral integrity, his unwavering trust, and genuine delight in the Lord, and that it is not a boast of self-righteousness. We will read Psalm 26, which is on page 3 in your bulletins, in unison. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful. I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go in procession round your altar. Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In today's New Testament reading of Paul's letter to the people of the church at Rome, he goes into detail to show that Jesus Christ is to be Lord of every area of life. The entire letter has been directed toward the goal of showing that God demands our action as well as our believing and thinking. Faith expresses itself in obedience. A reading from Romans 12, 1 through 8. And this chapter is titled Living Sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with somber judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew. In the book of Jeremiah, the reading today, we heard about Jeremiah being told that he should be like a bronze wall to the people. Be faithful to the word that I give you, and don't be absorbed into the world. And Paul talks about that in Romans 12 as well. Don't be like the world, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And now in a harder gospel today, starting at in verse 1 of chapter 16, Jesus is separating himself a little bit from the disciples' understanding of what it means that he's come into the world. Last week in the gospel, you heard Peter confess, "You're the Son of God." This week, Peter becomes a little protective of Jesus. Starting verse 21, "From that time on, Jesus began telling his followers that he must go to Jerusalem, where the older Jewish leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law would make him suffer many things. He told them that he must be killed and then be raised from the dead on the third day. I love this. Then Peter took Jesus aside and told him not to talk that way. By the way, I'm reading from the New Century Version, which is a little more informal. And he said, God save you from those things, Lord. Those things must never happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter, go away from me, Satan. You're not helping me. You don't care about the things of God, but only about the things people think are important. Then Jesus said to his followers, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me. Those who want to save their lives will give up true life, and those who give up their lives for me will have true life. It is worth nothing for them to have the whole world if they lose their souls. They could never pay enough to buy back their souls. The Son of Man will come again with his Father's glory and with his angels, and at that time he will reward them for what they have done. The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel for today, the function, the foundation is taking up your cross and following Jesus. Just before we get there, I want to share with you a little life lesson I learned yesterday. You might want to take notes. We have a family up from Florida for a bridal shower today. And over the weekend, we've had 12 people so far, grandkids and their parents. And today, when I get home, there'll be about 16. But yesterday, I took out a half dozen of them to a fast food place, tired of grilling. And here's what I learned. The typical thing at fast food, you get the tray, you take it to the table, and as you do, you pick up a fry and put it in your mouth. In the days of COVID virus, that doesn't work so well. The fry broke in the mask. So if you learn nothing else today, remember about masks and French fries. So today, the concept of take up your cross and follow me is what Jesus is teaching. And it's one of those things the disciples believed that Jesus was coming as the king, but not in the way that they had expected. And so he was beginning to teach them about what it means to actually follow him. He was going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, and if they wanted to be with him, they would need to take up their own cross. And in his day, the concept of what it means to pick up a cross was very clear. It was a graphic picture. Many in Jerusalem had seen men who were on the way to be nailed on the cross carry the beam upon which their arms would be nailed. So this was a very graphic picture. And when Peter said, Lord, forbid that that would happen to you, he was being appropriately protective, but he didn't grasp the immenseness of what Jesus really came to do. Many of them came to him with please, Lord, would you heal my demonically possessed son or daughter? Lord, I'm blind, would you bring sight? Lord, I'm crippled. I'm a leper. God, would you touch me? They brought their issues to him, their needs. And what he is saying now, that if you really want to follow me, you need to bear a cross. And it's a very different picture of what a disciple is. In Luke, Jesus said it this way. If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even more than your own life. And that's a sobering understanding of what it means to be a child of God. I read this week earlier about a man that I have seen on TV many times over the decades. His name is Arthur Blessett. He, for 53 years so far, he has fashioned a cross that he carries over his shoulder, and on the foot of the cross is a wheel. And he has carried that cross through every nation on earth. It's an incredible thing to imagine, but it's the case. And his concept is, as a preacher, he wants to bring the cross to the people. Some are offended, some are elated, but that has been his life's call. He made his first cross, I believe, when he was 27 years old. Now, that is not what Jesus is saying, that we need to fashion a cross, but we need to bring it in our heads and in our hearts wherever we go. And to me, that's a powerful thing to grasp what that means. What does bearing a cross or my cross mean? It certainly has to do with death. The crowds believed that Jesus would free them from the oppressive Roman Empire that put people up on cross and worse, and burned them. But that was not at all the kingdom that he came to establish. So I've reflected a little bit this week on what carrying your cross might mean based on some people that I have known over the years. One is a bank manager who lost his job because, with permission, when people would come into the bank that he knew who were struggling financially, relationally, that he would ask if he could pray for them. And many of them he actually led to the Lord. But because that was against bank policy, he was fired. So a part of carrying his cross for him meant that he was willing to lose, to risk his job, which he did lose at that point. Then I know a social worker whose thing that she loved to do was, when she got to know clients and understood where they were in their life as well as spiritually, she would invite them to come to church with her the next Sunday. And some came, some didn't. And she was warned that that was not a part of her job, that it was a public agency, she couldn't do that. And her concept was she always did it on private time. And so she kept doing it and ultimately was fired. She was carrying her cross. She was trying to make a witness. As a result, she also lost her job. A teacher, interestingly, was fired because he taught creationism alongside of evolutionism as two theories of how the world came to be. And his superintendent said that their district supported evolution. And he argued with them, but it's just a theory. Like creationism, why can't I teach them both? Because we teach only evolution. And so he was let go. His cross that he carried meant that he lost that teaching position because he believed he needed to also stand up for the possibility of creationism. So three people who've lost their jobs as an expression of carrying their cross. I have another friend. He and his wife ride motorcycles to remote villages in India. They oversee about 275 churches at last count. And they can't take cars. It's too remote. And many times over the years, they have been assaulted by militant Muslims who are trying to keep them from the calling on their life to take the gospel to remote areas. They've been in the hospital many times, but what they say is, this is our ministry, our call, even if it costs us our life. And they continue to expand the kingdom to places that no one would like to go. Powerful impact. Recently, you know that Velta Sanborn went to be with the Lord. And in recent months, she had struggled physically. By God's grace, she's now been released from that struggle. But now her family struggles with the loss of Bob, of his wife, and the kids of their mom and grandmom. And that's a challenge. But it's also a part of the struggle that we face as believers, that there is loss at times in our lives. And how do we deal with that as Christians? Now, we don't all face the same struggles that I've just talked about. We all face challenges. The question is, am I willing and able to stand up for what I believe? And in a very difficult environment sometimes that we live in right now, bearing the cross, which is foundational to Christ's teachings, can have a personal impact. Politically, we no longer dialogue. Compromise is not an issue. So how do we as Christians defend what we believe without alienating? Here's what Paul said about carrying the cross. This is in Galatians 2:20. He said, I was put to death on the cross of Christ, on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. He's saying, in effect, that he's a walking dead man, that it is the Lord through him who is living, and he seeks not to live according to his own will. You know, Paul was whipped, punished, and finally executed for his faith. That is not what we all face. In some parts of the world, it is a reality. But here, to me, is what's important, that we keep our purpose in mind. Our purpose is not to protect ourselves from danger or embarrassment or fear, but to live openly what we believe, no matter what the cost. And think about Christ as he was coming to this place in his life where he said, I'm headed toward Jerusalem. I know what's going to happen, but it's what I've been sent to earth for. He understood that he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. That was his calling to come to earth. He referred once to Moses raising up the emblem in the wilderness, and as the people looked to the emblem on the staff, they were healed. That emblem then becomes later the sign of the medical profession. And Jesus said, like that, I will be lifted up and will bring restoration and healing to all. That is the call on my earthly life. Jesus knew he had to die so that we could live. And likewise, as Paul says, as Christians, we need to die in effect that we are living for God, not for our own personal interests. And it's a huge transition in how we think. Paul, later in Galatians in chapter 6, says, through the cross of Jesus Christ, my world was crucified, and I died to the world. I no longer look at it. I don't see it. I'm dead to it because I'm living for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean he didn't struggle. Of course he struggled. So when you think about purpose in life and where we're going, a part of our purpose is simply to be cross carriers, not like Blessed that we carry it on our back, but that we carry it deep in our heart and in our brain, understanding why we are here. We have a purpose much beyond providing for ourselves and having a good life, but having a good witness by the way we live. And when you think about where we are today, as we see in many ways the biblical values of our country eroding, and in the midst of a pandemic that we could never have expected would happen, it's a challenging time in which to live and to live fully and joyfully. So think about what it might mean to follow Jesus for you. Would you be willing to follow him if it meant losing some of your close friends? When I first came to Christ in Columbus, my closest friends disappeared because I made them uncomfortable. Made new friends, but there was a loss. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means that if you confess what you believe, that you might alienate some of your family? And you will. But that's a part of being in love with the Lord and what he has done for our lives. Are you willing, like the teacher, the social worker, to risk the possibility of losing your current provision for the sake of the gospel? In some places in the world, that's reality. The question isn't, will it happen to you? The question is, are you willing to risk it all for the one who paid it all for you and for I? So here's the thought that it's comforting. We understand that in eternity, we will wear a crown. But until that time, we have to bear a cross. And it can be a thing of joy as well as the fact that it can also be something that comes with a price. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says in the Message, we carry this precious message of the cross around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. Nothing big to look at, but what we carry, the message that is in us, is very big and very powerful for the transformation of others. Cross-bearing is our primary vocation as members of the kingdom, as advocates of the kingdom of God. So think about this. What is the cross? What does it mean to carry the cross? The cross that I carry, that you carry, Think about this. Is all that Jesus has done for you, redemption, forgiveness, joy, prosperity, future, a hope, all of that comes through the cross. I want to carry that cross. I'm grateful for what the Lord has done in my life. And I encourage you to carry that same cross with peace and with expectation that God is not finished with using you as an ambassador in a very bewildering world. The Lord bless you today. Let's stand now and confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 5, which can be found on page 5 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God who pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, and that all may be one as you and the Father are one. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, the homeless, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. We ask, Lord, for on Advent's prayer requests list, for health and recovery, for Lillian and Ed, for Mary Lou, for Bob, for Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Marcia, for Dave, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve, Bruce, Joan, Stacy, Rose, Art, George, Shirley, and Lucille. We ask your prayers for the Friends of Advent, for Tony, for Ken and Jim, for Father Richard, for Betty Clark, for Liz, for Pastor Joyce, for Stella, Tina, Will, for the Eliza Jennings residents, and for the residents of Pinzone Tower. We ask, Lord, for safety and protection for David and for Rachel. And Lord, we ask for comfort for Bob and for his family. We ask your prayers, Lord, for this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who have died in the communion of your church, Lord, remembering especially Velta this morning, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another in all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord, our God. As we prepare as a people, a church, and a nation for the National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance on September 26th, there is in your bulletin prayers to help us focus on repentance in preparation. These prayers are for ourselves and for our nation and for our world. Today's prayer is for turning away from evil. I will read the opening, then we will read the following six prayers in unison. You are encouraged to take this home with you and to consider adding it to your individual prayers. A prayer for turning away from evil. For God to heal our nation, we must turn away from our evil ways. When we humble ourselves, pray, and repent of our personal, national, and corporate sins, we will experience revival, which will usher in the favor of God to cleanse his church. We invite him to return to us as we return to him. Pray through these scriptures and repent of any evil the Holy Spirit exposes. Together, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is Psalm 139. Together, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That was Proverbs 6. Together, he will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. And that's Isaiah. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And that's 1 John. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And that's Colossians. Then the last one together. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And that's Revelation.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now share that with one another from afar.
Good morning. First of all, before I forget it, Mindy has been so kind to remind me a couple of times this morning. Okay, well, you reminded me last Sunday when I forgot. So anyhow, leave your kneelers down so that when Jason does the cleaning and sanitizing, he'll know which pews have been occupied. So when you leave, just leave the kneelers down in their normal position. Secondly, we're happy to see Bob and son with us this morning. God bless you. We grieve with you in your loss. Let me also say that I sent out an email on Friday. The service will be at 11 o'clock as written in the bulletin, not 10 o'clock as I put in the email. So I'll send another email out just to correct that. Denise did a super job this morning of introducing the prayers that lead up to the September 26th National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. And you will know by now that this insert provides some additional information. We ask that you fill out the green sheets if you are planning to attend. This is just an effort on our part to get some idea of how many people might come. The schedule also shows that you are welcome to come for 5 minutes or 5 hours. It's up to you. You can come and go as you please. I had a question this morning. The entire day will be simulcast from the proceedings from the mall in Washington, D.C. So there will be no worship service as such. We're just providing Advent as a site for people to come and watch the activities going on in the mall. So we won't be having any service as such. We won't be having any prayer or praise or anything like that. We'll all be watching what's going on in Washington, D.C. So You know, I was struck this morning by when Denise was reading the passages from Jeremiah where he was talking about repentance. And there are lots of themes these days, aren't there, about our need to confess and repent and return. And so it's just, it seems like lots of messages are coming at us about the need to return to the Lord. And so September 26th is another opportunity to do that. There will be someone to pray with you and back during communion, intercessory prayers. Peace be with you. Yes, no, you don't have to be here. You can do that on your home. So you can go to the return.org website and search around there, and you'll find where you can access. I haven't actually done that on an individual basis, but you could probably just say you're going to simulcast. But just search around the site. I'm sure, you know, there's certainly no intent to keep it just to sites like this. Kay's point reminds me also, when I looked a week or so ago, there were 7 sites in Northeast Ohio. Advent, the next closest one is a Nazarene church in Amherst. And so right at that point in time, it may have changed. There may have been new sites set up. But so there's an opportunity here for us to reach out to other churches in Westlake. Once we get a count from these green sheets, then we'll know whether we're likely to have 20 or 50 or 60 or whatever. We'll then start promoting this to churches in the Westlake area, inviting people to come and join. Thank you for the question, Kay. Peace.
When Dick talked about the 26th, it reminded me that I wanted to mention this morning that our prayer and fasting initiative has now grown to 57 participants. So that's really quite edifying. As we prepare to consecrate the elements and present our offerings, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. As the offering comes, please stand with me as we share the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who by water and the Holy Spirit has made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord to show forth thy glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. Our Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he had given thanks, he took the cup and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink this, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So simple, but it changes everything. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. On our joint behalf, it's my privilege to receive the elements this week. Next week, as you come, you'll be free to receive the bread, the body of Christ. Thank you. Please join with me in prayer. In union, O Lord, with your faithful people at every altar of your church, where the Holy Eucharist is now being celebrated, I desire to offer you praise and thanksgiving. I remember your death, Lord Christ. I proclaim your resurrection. I await your coming in glory. And since I cannot receive you today in the sacrament of your body and blood, I beseech you to come spiritually into my heart. Cleanse and strengthen me with your grace, Lord Jesus, and let me never be separated from you. May I live in you and you in me, in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing for this week is from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, and live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. I believe that lady has a future in music. Go in peace and serve the Lord.